Roll the tape.
This podcast is protected by copyright and not for broadcast. See rsn.net.au for more details.
Snippety B with 100 to go has run them ragged. Snippety B's going to be too strong. Takes the Goodwood Wells.
Now on Tas Racing Talk, time to talk thoroughbreds.
Racing manager of Tas Racing, David Manchanan, joins us online today on Tas Racing Talk. How are you, Dave?
I'm well, Shane, and yourself?
Yeah, very good. Now, it's a very busy time for Tas Racing over the Christmas New Year break, and it's also preparation time for the Tasmanian yearling sales.
Yes, Shane, the Magic Millions yearling sale will be upon us very quickly. It's on Thursday the 12th of February 2015, once again at the Inverness Showgrounds in Launceston.
Now, pretty massive book this year, 121 yearlings.
Yeah, no, we're ecstatic with the result. You know, we did our initial forecasts were between 90 to 100 yearlings, so we were wrapped when Magic Millions advised us there was 121 yearlings this year, which is a fantastic result.
Yeah, very healthy state, obviously, 121.
Yeah, no, we're as I said, we're wrapped with that. That's about, you know, the number that we think we can have a good sale with. Any more than that, and we tend to struggle at the bottom level. But, you know, a wide diversity of and stallions, you know, a lot of Melbourne and New South Wales stallions represented this year, which is, you know, which is also good for the sale.
Now, we've had the cleaner, who was a graduate of the sale in 2009, a few close connections this year.
Yeah, we're ecstatic to announce that the three-quarter brother to the cleaner, he's by Savoir V, and this would be the last opportunity for buyers to buy a yearling from Savoir V, which, you know, unfortunately passed away. But this colt is a three-quarter brother, as we said, out of the black type winner Private Nip. So all reports are showing that he's a cracking strong colt, good walker and doing everything right. So I'm sure that he will create a lot of interest, and hopefully will create the interest to some syndicators who, you know, may syndicate him in the state.
Yeah, tremendous news there. And also further good news with the extension of the agreement on the sales.
Yeah, we're also pretty rapt to announce that Magic Millions, Tas Breeders and Tas Racing have agreed to extend the current arrangement for a further 3 years, Shane, and that gives, I suppose, the local breeders some certainty moving forward to have Magic Millions, you know, partner with the Tasmanian breeding industry.
Well, given the number of races that Tasmanian horses have won on the mainland over the last 6 to 12 months, there's been plenty of interest created.
Yeah, when you look at the likes over the, I suppose, just the past 6 months, we've had, you know, the Cleaner, Queenstown, Like a Carousel, Kendrewood, Bunchlock, Lux of Fortune, Dandy Gent, and the list goes on. So, you know, we're expecting some strong interstate presence at the sale this year on the back of the results that, you know, the Tassie breeds have had in Melbourne, especially over the Spring Carnival.
And going back even further in time, the likes of Triple Asset, Lady Lynette spring to mind, along with, in more recent times, obviously Like a Carousel and the Cleaner, and there's some other quite closely related horses to top notches going around in Tasmania.
Yeah, we're among the lots catalogued are a half or three-quarter relations to, you know, not only the Cleaner, but the Newmarket winner from last year, Black and Tough, and Triple Asset and 20 grand. So, you know, the fantastic result from the breeders to have, you know, relations to those being kept in Tassie and being sold at the Tasmanian sale.
And well-bred stake-winning mares also catalogued this year.
Yeah, there's a lot there when we look at the catalogue, but just to name a few, you're looking at, you know, Brackham Lass, Galvanised, Private Nip, as we mentioned earlier, and stakes performers of the calibre of, you know, Que Lady, Y4 and With Decorum. So they're all represented, and a great, as I said earlier, a great diversity throughout the catalogue of not only local but interstate stallions as well.
Yeah, well, a great sale to look forward to, the 2015 Tasmania Magic Millions sale at Inverness Showgrounds in Launceston on Thursday the 12th of February, just as the real summer racing carnival heats up and approaching its climax with the Hobart and Launceston Cups around that time. Now, last week we had some great racing in Launceston, the three-year-old cup and the Wait for Age Conquering, two wonderful races.
Yeah, no, there was a fair amount of comment that it was probably the best three-year-old cup that's been put on in this state. And when you look at the horses that ran in it, Valiant Warrior, Admiral, and GG's Double J, you know, a couple of those were our best two-year-olds from last year. But just wanted to touch on, I suppose, one out of that race, Shane, if we can, was Cole's Hero, who was a super run, ran 22.42 for his last 400, but ran his last 200 in 11.47. So from the Stridemaster sectional times, I think Cole's Hero's one to watch. The return of Admiral was gallant in defeat. We had Valiant Warrior that's now 5 from 5. The majority of these horses looking at the noms will go to the three-year-old cup on New Year's Eve, which should be a cracking race.
Yeah, certainly a wonderful night of racing. And also at the weekend, we had the Winsenberg Trophy. That was Grand Tycoon back to its brilliant best.
Yeah, he's a terrific little horse. So he's now won 11 of his 15 starts and over $260,000. So for a lightly raced four-year-old, it does show that there is good prize money to be earned racing in Tassie. I've spoken to his trainer, Barry Campbell, and Grand Tycoon will now press on to the open handicap on Devonport Cup Day, and then on to, if everything's going well, the tatsbet.com.au stakes, which is about the 22nd of January for memory.
And just going back to the yearling sales, Dave, Grand Tycoon, he's only a pocket rocket, but he's a ball of muscle. He would have been hard to pick out of the sales as a coming winner, I would have thought. But I think he might have even been picked out of a paddock by the Langmaids. But he's certainly been a marvellous racehorse, and there could be another one in those sales this year.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, for memory, he got picked out of the sale picked out of the paddock prior to the sale. But there you go, another, I suppose, didn't go through the sale, but another terrific advertisement for Tasmanian bred horses, Shane.
Yeah, obviously a very good eye just driving past in a paddock and picking out a champion. I'd like to do that. Might go for a drive myself this afternoon.
I don't think we'd have the same luck, Shane.
No, probably pick out a rocking horse. Now, Sheffield Cup Day coming up on Boxing Day. Looks a great program.
Yeah, well, the traditional lead-up race into the Devonport Cup in January. So the winner of this joins the producer with a ballot-free exemption into the Devonport Cup, which is on Wednesday the 7th of January. Last year's winner, Red Eagle, returns, as does Place Getter Royal Rapture, into the Sheffield Cup field. It's a really good race, plenty of pace in this year's edition with Can Get Thirsty, Land a Dollar and Red Eagle. But we've selected two horses from the Stridemaster data just to watch. One's Genuine Lad and the other one's Euboa. Both horses ran well and broke 38 seconds for their last 600 last start. Genuine Lad did a few things wrong last start, but he was still only beaten 1.5 lengths, and it looks as though Anthony Darmanin takes the ride on Genuine Lad in the Sheffield Cup. And Euboa, well, he keeps ticking over nicely. He clocked his last 200 in 12.85, which was easily the fastest of the race. And he'll be ridden by the stable apprentice, it appears, Ismail Toka. So, fantastic race. Looking through that, the majority of these will progress to the Devonport Cup with a few others, namely Big Time, that looks as though will go first up into the Devonport Cup from the Adam Trinder Yard. So that'll be a pretty big training performance to get a Big Time first up into the Devonport Cup.
Absolutely, and just looking through that field, it promises to be a great race. That's at 5.04, the Wagyu Pie Sheffield Cup over the 1,650-metre journey coming up on Friday. Any other runners in the program that stand out?
One train from the Barry Campbell's yard, again, we've picked out. We're sticking to the local runner here in Guru Resin Race 5. He's got a fantastic record over the track and distance, and gets the claim from Reagan Cross, so it brings him down to 59.5 kilos. He's not overly badly treated at the weights, but he ran 36 flat for his last 600 on September 14 when he beat Flash Our Moon, and prior to that broke 24 seconds for his last 400 on August the 31st. So we think he should get a run from Barrier 6, and which could make it a good day all round for Barry Campbell with Euboa and a few other runners.
Yeah, well, $9 in the pre-post markets today, so that's race 5, number 4, Guru Rez. What about the upcoming meetings that we've got to look forward to over the Christmas break?
Yes, as we said, we've touched on the Sheffield Cup meeting, so we've got 8 races there on Good Friday.
It'll be a good Friday, but it won't be a good Friday.
It will be a good Friday. I'm getting my holidays mixed up there, Shane, but good pickup. We've got a cracking meeting. We've got a cracking meeting on New Year's Eve at Launceston with the Tassie Stakes and the 3-year-old trophy. Looks as though we're going to have 9 races there on that night. So looking at the Tassie Stakes noms, you know, we've got Banker Mo, GG's Black Flash, Iggy McCool, Jacori Jim, Pay TV, Pitt Street and Royal Rapture, which is also nominated. One that creates a bit of interest, Shane, is a horse by the name of Lucky Chappie that was previously trained by Chris Waller in Sydney's now with Julie Richards. Interesting to note, looking at his form, 4 starts ago was beaten only 5 lengths in the Group 1 Epsom Handicap in Sydney, so he creates a lot of interest in this race, and all reports are he's headed to the Hobart and Launceston Cups.
And with the Hobart and Launceston Cups not too far away, all of the big guns around the state, the GG's, Black Flashes and the like, are all in great form leading into the series.
Yeah, look, everything's leading into a fantastic summer racing carnival, Shane, and I suppose the Devonport Cup will be, you know, one of the big races leading into those, and we're pretty excited, you know, with the field that looks as though it's going to be put together for the Devonport Cup and then moving on into the summer racing carnival.
And a great day to celebrate on New Year's Day also at Longford.
Yeah, we can't forget Longford, you know, home of the Queener. So, you know, fantastic race, the Longford Cup. The Queener did win it, I think, 3 years ago for memory. And, you know, it always does throw a horse up progressing through the carnival. And I think the producer won it last year and ran well in the Devonport Cup. So that's the traditional race day on New Year's Day, and always a good day at Longford, Shane.
Well, we've got a couple of great months to look forward to in the Tasmanian Summer Racing Carnival, and as the racing manager of Tas Racing, I'm sure you'll be in for a busy time, but it'll be a good time as well.
Yeah, fan, we're looking forward to it, Shane.
8 races coming up on the card on Friday. The Boxing Day meeting at Devonport promises to be a great card. To tip us some winners, Tasmanian Hall of Fame racing journalist Greg Mansfield joins us. How are you, Greg?
Good, thanks, Shane. Yeah,
Do you always carry that title around?
Only when I'm talking to you, usually.
Exactly. Yeah, I've got to look after you. Now, we've got what promises to be a good program with the feature being the Sheffield Cup.
It is a good program. It's a $25,000 race, the Sheffield Cup, and looking at the field, it's one of the best I've ever had, and it's pretty much a preview of the Devonport Cup coming up on the 7th of January. I'll be surprised if the field is much different.
Okay, so that's race number 7 on the card. It's the third leg of the quaddie. What we need is some money leading into that quadrilla. So the first race on the card is a 1,000-metre maiden.
Yeah, well, going back to the first, there's a shorty in this. I've had a look at the fixed odds this morning, and they've got Miss Mars at $1.85. That's a bit on the skinny side for a horse drawn 9 in a field of 9, but she's certainly got the best form. So I don't think I'll be betting, but I'll put her on top number 9 ahead of E-Town, who's knocking on the door number 3. Ain't the Whiskey's got a bit of speed and is trained on the track number 8. And GG Supreme has run a few placings. As I said, it does look the winner, but they're not going to let us on. 9 in the first.
Okay, the second race on the card is the Dr. Sender Memorial. It's the maiden. It's over 1,150 for the 3-year-olds and upwards.
Our old mate running here in Flying Stevie, who, of course, ran 7 seconds in a row before he ran 4th at his last start. The corporates have opened him up $2.20 favourite, and they can certainly have that. I don't think you and I will be jumping into $2.20 about a horse that runs second all the time.
I won't be knocking you over to get to it, put it that way.
No, I won't be in the queue anyway. The second favourite is a horse called Rose's Quest, trained by Adam Trinder. It's only $2.80, but they do look the only 2 chances, and given the fact that Flying Stevie just doesn't win, you just have to go for the 6. So Rose's Quest, a clear top pick ahead of Flying Stevie. For the placings, Tangerine Queen, one of the Ganderton team, trained on the track. She's got a bit of pace, and another one trained on the track called What a Buzz, trained by Leon and Dean Wells, ran an improved race last start. But I think the Cornella is 6 and 2, and then 7 and 4.
Third race on the cards, the C1 over the 1350. You've been scouting around for any winners in this?
Well, I thought scouting around might have been a little bit of value for us to start the day. I wasn't expecting anything too flash, but I thought maybe around the 350 mark. But the corporates have beaten us. They've got it $1.85 now. It's my top tip, but that is a ridiculously short price. This is a good field. There are half a dozen chances in the race. So again, if you're swayed by the odds, I'd be avoiding scouting around, but you never know, he might get out to something better than that. He is knocking on the door. Barry Campbell's got a good opinion of him. His first up run was very sound. Strips fitter here. He's on his home track. Look at all points for him being hard to beat. Number two, Lake Fergus, was an absolute eye-catcher last start. It went to the line under a stranglehold, couldn't get a run at any stage. Got beaten a couple of lengths behind Triple B. That was at Devonport back on the 7th of December. You could almost make a case for the fact that if he'd got clear, he would have won. So I think he's probably the danger, number two. One, Prickly Diamonds. He's certainly got his foot on the tool. A claim here for Sherry Barr brings him in with 56. He's in the mix somewhere. And Anne Payo, number six, part owned by a work colleague of mine at the Advocate. So I think it's got some sort of a chance as well. But he's clearly my top pick. But again, I'll be steering clear of the odds, number five, scouting around.
Fourth race on the card. Looks as if the top weights have it between them.
Yeah, well, the three at the top are my three top tips. But having said that, I looked at the fixed odds market and they've come up with number six, Our Lucky Girl, as a $2 favourite. Well, again, I think they're dreaming to some extent. I'll give it a chance, but it's no way known it'll be $2. This is a good field. The top three are my top picks. I've gone for number one, Savoir Step. He is dropping back from 1,200 to 1,150 on his first up run when he finished strongly, but he's a very promising horse. Triple B, I didn't think there was anything wrong with the way he won last start. He's $9 in the early market, if you like a bit of value each way. Three, Just Mouse, always runs well. Doesn't win very often, but is usually in the money. And as I said, six, Our Lucky Girl, has got a chance, but not for me at that price. I'll stick with number one, Savoir Step.
Now, race five kicks off the Quadrilla. It's the benchmark 62. It's over the 1,150-metre journey. And a couple here having their first start back from a spell.
Yeah, an interesting race and plenty of value in the first leg of the quad. It's $5 the field in the early market. I've gone for one of those ones resuming in number three, Espry. His form after joining the Adam Trinder stable was very consistent. He does race particularly well on the synthetic track. Got a reasonable draw and a claim for Ismail Toka. He had 62 kilos originally, which was plenty of weight, but still 60 and a half. But I think he'll run well, number three. He always does. I put him on top of Bernard, number six, who ran third as favourite last start, but had a good excuse. He reared up in the barrier stalls prior to that race and got over. Got cast for a short period of time. Was past fit to run. I don't think he should have run in hindsight. He was reported to be a little bit sore after the race, so that was a forgive run, number six. He can improve. Number seven, GG Style, ran second in that same race after hitting his leg on the barrier stalls and taking a bit of skin off, so he also had excuses. I think they're both in the mix, six and seven. And Guru Rez, who had a couple of runs just before I let up over longer distances and didn't go so good, but if you go back to his 1150-metre form at Devonport, he's had three starts that track and distance for two wins in a second. So I think freshened up, he can sprint well. But you can make a case for four or five of the others. It's a very tough start to the quaddy. I went for number three, Espry.
Race number six on the card, the benchmark 72 over the 1350, and this is a race chock full of interest. Crystal Reef, wonderful record on the track, and Lazy Democracy, and At the Weekend, both going for hat-tricks.
Yes, you've named the three top chances there. This is a really good field. At the Weekend, a very smart mare trained by Adam Trinder. She was very competitive in the Oaks and the Strut Stakes and the Thousand Guineas, all those good three-year-old fillies races last season. Had a bit of a freshen up. I'd expect her to run well on a home track. But my top tip is number two, Lazy Democracy. This horse has been flying since he's been back from a spell. Barry Campbell trained horse. First up, he was very good. He beat a good horse in Soundbar. Last time out, he beat another good horse called Bideford, and he did it after sitting wide for the entire race, and he still powered home over the top of him. So he's absolutely flying. He's to his home track here. He has plenty of weight even after the claim, but I think he's a good chance to complete the hat trick. So I put him on top two, just ahead of At the Weekend, number six, who is the early favourite. One, Crystal Reef, as you said. Record at Devonport's not bad, is it? Five wins from six starts this track and distance. Goes up to 61 kilos here, so that's probably the big query. And there's another nice horse in this in number seven, Hot to Trot, one of the prime thoroughbreds teams, and was a very nice first up run behind Crystal Reef, and you'd think it would be improved. So a really good field. You might have to go wide if you're a Quadrilla player. I went for two ahead of six, one and seven.
And then we come to the feature of the day, the Wagyu Pie Sheffield Cup over the 1650. We've got a couple of stars in this, including the former Devonport Cup winner, Red Eagle.
Yeah, good field. As I said, a good preview to the Devonport Cup. Three Brunton-trained horses in this haven't had riders declared yet. Well, as we speak, Royal Rapture, Streetwise, Savoir and Land a Dollar. So it'll be interesting to see who goes down onto those. The early market with the corporates has Royal Rapture at $3.80. Second dozen in the betting at $7.50. Streetwise Savoir and the producer are both $8.50. Down to Ollie's Gold, who's recaptured his Tasmanian Derby winning form of late. He's your $5 chance. And Genuine Lad, who was probably going to win last start until he ran off the track in the home straight, he's a $6 chance. So an open race, $3.80 the field. Red Eagle for Devonport Cup winners, $18, which shows what a tough race it is. I went for Royal Rapture, number one. He's got a touch of class. He was placed in this race last year. He went on to run a place in the Devonport Cup. He was recently placed in the Newmarket Handicap. Like he competes well at the top level all the time. So he's my top pick, number one. Ahead of his stablemates, four, Streetwise Savoir, who's a very nice horse. I don't underestimate him. The producer, number five, was beautifully ridden by Kim Moore to win last start, was given the run of the race and just got the money. And Genuine Lad, who, as I said, looked like he might be going to win last time out, and he ran to the outside fence. So they're my top four, but it's a wide-open race. So one ahead of four, five, and 11.
And then in the last race, it's the benchmark 62 over the Devonport Cup, the distance of the 1880. Our Anna then on the bottom of the weights going for three in a row.
Yes, and the $4.40 favourite in the early markets. I searched through all the corporate prices and it took me to the last race to find one that I thought was a little bit of value, and it's number 10, Evil Intent, who they are quoting at $13. I think that's a good each-way bet in this race. We'll carry 54, the minimum weight after the claim for Harvey McCarthy. Forget this mare went round last start. She got caught wide towards the back of the field and never came into it, but her previous two runs, she was finishing off nicely. She's more than capable of winning a benchmark 62 over 1880. In fact, I think she can win better races than this over a bit of ground. So she's my best each way of the day and the last at the $13. Number 10, Evil Intent. I like the run of number 11, All I've Got, one of Michael Trinder's team. It showed improvement last time out when a close fourth at this track. Our Anna, as you said, going for a hat trick. This is the toughest field it's met, but it comes in nicely again with the claim for Toka. And Gigi's boss, who's got 60 kilos, he is racing well, but that's a lot of weight. They're my top four, but I like each way. Number 10, Evil Intent, to wrap up the day.
They're showing some good value there, too. That's your best. Any other runners stand out throughout the program to you?
Well, I'm just going to bet against Flying Stevie, so I'll make Rose's Quest my first best bet in race two, number six. And hopefully we've still got something left in the pocket when we get to the last and have something each way. Number 10, Evil Intent.
Okay, sounds like a great program coming up, Greg, and all the best for Christmas to you and the family, and I hope you have a great day on the punt on Friday.
Same to you, Shane, and also obviously to everyone in the racing industry.
This podcast was brought to you by rsn.net.au.